From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. We hope you will find the messages to be encouraging and helpful as you see how God can use ordinary people in the work of His kingdom. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, and verse 22. Have faith in God. Faith is the foot of the soul by which it can march along the road of the commandments. Love can make the feet move more swiftly, but faith is the foot which carries the soul. Faith is the oil enabling the wheels of holy devotion and of earnest piety to move well. And without faith, the wheels are taken from the chariot and we drag heavily. With faith I can do all things. Without faith I shall have neither the inclination nor the power to do anything in the service of God. If you would find the men who serve God the best, you must look for the men of the most faith. Little faith will save a man, but little faith cannot do great things for God. Poor little faith could not have fought Apollyon. It needed Christian to do that. Poor little faith could not have slain giant despair. It required great hearts armed to knock that monster down. Little faith will go to heaven, most certainly, but it often has to hide itself in a nutshell, and it frequently loses all but its jewels. Little faith says, "It is a rough road, beset with sharp thorns and full of dangers. I am afraid to go." But great faith remembers the promise, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. As thy days, so shall thy strength be." And so she boldly ventures. Little faith stands desponding, mingling her tears with the flood. But great faith sings, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee." And she fords the stream at once. Would you be comfortable and happy? Would you enjoy religion? Would you have the religion of cheerfulness and not that of gloom? Then have faith in God. If you love darkness and are satisfied to dwell in gloom and misery, then be content with little faith. But if you love the sunshine and would sing songs of rejoicing, covet earnestly this best gift, great faith.
Faith that follows all great prayer,
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of these messages, he's presenting a biographical sketch of each apostle, examining each man's background, his character, and the particular way in which the Lord used him. The focus now is on James, the brother of John. Although scriptural references to James are few, we know that he was part of the inner circle, those disciples who were closest to Christ, including Peter and John. He was the first of the apostles to be martyred, but even the reference to that event is very brief. Yet in James we see a man whose worth was greater than his reputation. First, and most important of all, James heard the call of Christ, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." James took the Lord at his word and gave his all to the Savior. He was a man of great zeal. Sometimes, however, his zeal was greater than his wisdom. Believers need to be zealous for Christ, but they need also to exercise good judgment. Now, with the next portion of James, Zealous but Jealous, here is Dr. Cairns.
Let me tell you, we need the fire of evangelistic outreach to burn again in our hearts. The burning zeal that Whitfield and Wesley and the early Methodists knew. Can you imagine a love for souls? I have to be honest with you. I admire this when I read it. But I don't think that honestly I could say I know anything of such a love. Can you imagine a John Wesley going into a town to preach the gospel. Knocked from his horse, bloodied and bruised, pulled by the hair of his head through the length of the town, and still standing up, not in defiance, not in stubbornness, but with an overwhelming love for the very people that beat him almost to death. Can you imagine that kind of a love? That kind of a fervor? That kind of a passion? And then think of our stand for God. We read of Phinehas, or Phinehas, if you want to call him that. In Numbers 25, 13, he was zealous for his God. And he took a great stand for the Lord in the midst of compromise and sin and apostasy. Oh, that we would have such a love for Christ. I think what dictates the stand, and I'm going to be very critical here, what dictates the stand of too many of us fundamentalists is sheer orneriness. Very often we stand upon our pride. Very often we stand upon our prejudices, when the great necessity is to take a stand out of zeal for the name of the Lord of hosts. We are never more like the Lord than when a zeal for God's glory fills our hearts. You remember it is said of the Lord himself that he was clad with zeal as with a cloak. When the Lord Jesus appeared, John chapter 2, when he appeared on earth, he went to the temple, and it says, "The zeal of thy house hath eaten me up." We're never more like Christ than when we're filled with zeal. I think you know that nowadays, you'll have to evaluate this for yourself, but I think that nowadays fervor is usually left to unreasoning fanatics. They're the only people who have any fervor about anything. If you're educated, you don't have too much fervor. I mean, it doesn't suit educated, cultured people. Well, then let that culture be sunk in hell. And I use those words advisedly. Let any education and any culture that would rob us of a fervor for Christ, let it be banished as unworthy of the name of the Savior. Nowadays, it's only the fanatics and the fools who have fervor. For far too many people, zeal and passion can't coexist with doctrinal purity. I'm a Calvinist. Well, I realize that for many people that's a swear word. And they've been told so many things about that man, John Calvin. You're in good company if you feel that John Calvin was a devil. No less a great pure theologian than Jimmy Swaggart wrote a big, big article on the souls that Calvin damned. John Calvin did more for God before breakfast any one day in his life than Jimmy Swaggart did in his whole life, if he saved. But that's beside the point. Just beside the point. I'm a Calvinist. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the decree of election. I believe in particular redemption. Listen, I believe in all those things. Not because John Calvin taught them, but because that Bible teaches them. That's why I believe them. Now listen, the Lord Jesus believed all those things. Was there any lack of fervor? The Apostle Paul, when he wrote that passage in Romans, which is the deepest statement of the doctrine of predestination in all the Bible. Now, Paul is not pulling any punches. This is a passage that is so blunt and so deep that even great Calvinists have shied away from it. Paul is too strong for us. But how does he start that? He says, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. In Romans 10, the previous chapter, he went even further. He says, I'm telling the truth. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Ghost. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ to see these Jewish people saved. And then he went on to talk about the doctrine of predestination. I want to tell you, my friend, doesn't matter how deep the doctrine, doesn't matter how orthodox the theology. Orthodox theology should set your soul on fire for God. Should not destroy your fervor. There's so many people, and they imagine that if you're going to be doctrinally right, you can't have too much passion and too much zeal. I have known stupid people who are so scared of witnessing. Maybe they're not witnessing to the elect. So what? I mean, when will people catch themselves on? So what? There are stupid preachers, and I'm using the word stupid deliberately, because they think they're wonderfully erudite. And they will not give a general invitation of the gospel, just in case they might be inviting some poor sinner who's not elect to Jesus. What a travesty of the whole doctrine of God's word. When God himself spoke to Cain, and Cain was a reprobate, God gave Cain the invitation of the gospel, and he promised him, if you do what the gospel tells you to do, you'll be saved. I can say that to any man. But I want to tell you, there's absolutely nothing in the Bible that does not equate biblical orthodoxy with a passion for souls. And then there are other people. And of course, these are much in the majority. And let's be honest, there are churches all across America, and they have soul-winning programs, and they have all this emphasis on soul-winning and passion. They have it all, except the reality. For far too many Christians, the business of the world takes their time and their talent and their energy and their attention. And the Lord gets the rump of their time and energy. What's left over when everything else has been looked after? Well, now I'll give that to the Lord. My friend, the need of the hour is for men like James, men of zeal. God, crucify our half-heartedness tonight. God, deal with the coldness and the lying excuses behind which we hide that coldness. Take away that heart of stone that can be as hard to the needs of dying men and women. The world is perishing. More millions in this world tonight have never heard the name of Jesus Christ than at any time in its history from the creation until now. Call comes ringing to the Church of Christ. I want to tell you, we need Jameses, we need men of zeal who'll sell out everything, who'll face poverty, who'll face sickness, who'll face death in order to do the will of God. I look across this meeting and see a great number of young people. Your life will not be worth anything simply because you become, quote, a big success. Oh, that you would give up all to Christ and know the zeal of God that burns in your heart. But you know, zeal must be tempered with wisdom. And that wisdom must be the wisdom of the Word of God. Over in James, or in Luke chapter 9 and verse 54,
We read that James and John saw this and they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? This was in the village of the Samaritans. And they didn't want to receive Christ. So James immediately says, Lord, Elijah called down fire. Let us call down fire. Jesus turned to them and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. James's zeal on this occasion became a fire out of control. It made him intolerant. It made him vindictive. You'll notice one thing about zeal that's not tied to knowledge and wisdom. It misuses the word of God. Elijah did it. The thing is, Elijah didn't do it. That's the truth. Elijah didn't do it. Elijah called down fire on the prophets of Baal. He didn't call down fire on the thousands who had been guilty of rejecting the message for years. Here were poor Samaritans, and they were having this first opportunity. And James immediately wanted to consign them to everlasting hell. Zeal, out of control. I think what was wrong with James here was he was just an old Jew who hated Samaritans. And you'll see what zeal out of control can do. It can dress up personal hostility in the garb of spirituality. James could vent his spleen against the Samaritans and sound like a saint. How quickly zeal can blaze out of control and turn the most devoted servant of Christ into a purveyor of the devil's lies rather than Christ's truth. You know not what spirit you are of. Paul complained of the Jews in his day that they have a zeal but not according to knowledge. Now that's a very dangerous thing. And I think you'll find it in the church. Look at the history of the church. This kind of zeal without knowledge has fueled the fires of torture and persecution. This kind of zeal without knowledge has replaced the sword of the Spirit with the weapons of the flesh. It's never guided by the plain teaching of the Word of God. It ultimately is man-centered, not God-centered. And you'll notice this, and this is very modern, it's right bang up to date. A zeal without knowledge divorces love for God from love for men. At times, like James, there are people who are willing to slay men out of a supposed love for God. The Church of Rome has raised its saints by the thousand who have been willing to do that, drenched Europe in blood for centuries. And they say it's out of love for God. Of course, it's all a big lie. It's out of love for themselves. But this comes a lot closer home. There are others who are willing to betray God out of so-called love for man. That's the sin of this age. People who say they have a zeal, say, to win the lost. So they're willing to kick over what the Bible says. They're willing to cooperate with Romanism. They're willing to set up one big worldwide vast organization of ecumenical endeavor. We have a love for souls. Therefore, we're going to sink all these doctrinal differences. They betray God and God's truth. In the name of love, I want to tell you, that kind of zeal is always wrong. Zeal must be harnessed by the Word of God. Now, that was usually the case with James, though on this occasion it was conspicuously absent.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.